We're back. Basketball edition, Mountain West Connection here. Jeremy Moss, who knows, I think I know a little bit about hoops. If not, I'll fake my way through it this evening. The expert, I'll say, is Eli Becker, helping us out tonight for basketball and tweeting everything out about hoops for us, quite a few things. So we got our technical difficulties, crossing fingers, good to go. So you ready for this evening to discuss, what, the third of the season, I guess?
Yeah, I'm ready. I think we're about a little bit over a third of the way, so that's pretty good.
40%, is that good? Does that work for you?
That sounds good.
All right, so we're not going to recap everything because we meant to do weekly, but then, hey, there's Thanksgiving. Hey, somebody got really sick for 4 days. Hey, we can't record today because whatever, we can't. So we're going to attempt weekly or some sort, but we know there's basketball fans out there. You want to talk hoops. And so let's do this. Should we start with we're going to talk about your article you wrote. Was it about a week ago, I believe, about the at-large potential at this point? Because with the season, non-conference season coming to an end, very few wins that are going to help the league. But we need to take a moment aside and discuss San Diego State first.
San Diego State does it again against Grand Canyon. Of all the teams that you think San Diego State could have problems with, before the season starts, when you look at the previews, and now twice in a row, it's Grand Canyon. I don't know what it is.
Here's the thing. It's the same old Aztecs team, but worse, I'll say, because their defense is not as good. Offense, they don't have a go-to guy. They don't know how to finish a game. That's kind of what it comes down to. I think that's oversimplifying it, but defense is good, not great. Offense is what it has been. If they shoot 34%, I might be surprised some nights.
Yeah, and we talked last year when you said can they shoot 40% and win some games or close out games down the stretch, and they're even significantly worse this year on twos than they were last year. So they boggle our minds.
They are, just really quick, 41% from the field.
At least they're shooting threes a little bit better.
Yeah, 35 is not bad. It's like you got Hemsley and Trey Kell who are pretty good, but Cheatham's not too bad. But they're averaging, this doesn't seem right. How are they averaging 72 points per game? That Savannah State game's really skewed the numbers.
Yeah, big time.
They lose to Loyola, Illinois.
That was rough.
The stupid Missouri Valley Challenge, which benefits nobody. What is wrong with this team?
I don't know. And it's strange because this was the team that we talked about the last few years about holding these leads when up with 5 minutes to go. I don't remember what the number was, but it was about a 4 or 5 year stretch. And now the theme is
like
almost
100 games
that,
or something.
Yeah, it was at least 100 games. And now the theme is they can't close out games. And this is twice in 4 days that they've been unable to finish on the road against mid-majors. So it's concerning.
Because Grand Canyon should be pretty good. They might win the WAC. WAC's nothing special. Utah Valley is actually much better. But still, they're still in the WAC. And then I get Loyola 7-2, but are they going to really win the Missouri Valley over like Wichita State or Northern Iowa?
No, I don't see that. These are two teams that end up maybe making a run for the NCAA tournament, San Diego State has 4 stars and 5 stars and guys that had offers from some of the biggest teams in the country. So and they have Steve Fisher running the show too. So I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Because here's the thing. Because let's kind of go to your article a little bit about the NCAA tournament. Because last year you had one team in, and Gary Parrish of CBS says this all the time. I think I mentioned this in our preseason show. The committee is very biased against top 50 wins. And the meaning, if you're in the Pac-12 or the ACC or Big 12, you will dumb luck your way into playing about a dozen top 50 teams or games.
Just like Syracuse did last year.
Yes, if we mentioned that, they were like, 4 for 10 or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Very. So, like right now, Grand Canyon, they're 165 Ken Palm. Illinois, what is Loyola Illinois? Probably 200. I don't know. I don't.
136.
I don't know going weird. Okay, 136. But if we look, if the Aztecs are what we thought, which they're not, I'm assuming they're going to have zero outside of Gonzaga, which was a loss. I'm betting zero top. They'll have zero other top 50 games.
Yeah, they'll have, unless Nevada makes the top 50 and they can beat them once, and if California stays in the top 50, but that's it.
Arizona State's not very good either, so they play them this week.
Oh, they were awful on Tuesday. Yeah, so they'll be heading down too. So, oh, it's the tournament resume's not looking good.
Like, what teams outside of UNLV who's scheduling pretty good? Boise State schedule's pretty good. Because UNLV has a non-conference schedule, but they're not going to beat Duke this weekend. They'll be lucky to stay within 30 points.
And then they have Oregon and Kansas, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in Kansas. Isn't that at home, correct?
Yes, Oregon, that's at home.
Oregon could be had. They've had some weird losses this year.
Mm-hmm.
But is it Nevada or bust? Is that what we're looking at?
That's what I'm looking at. It's too bad, too, because... this is a team that's capable of having multiple teams in the tournament year in and year out, but they have these trap games that completely derail any sort of hope of building up a resume. And right after San Diego State beat California, and pretty handily too, it was kind of building up, okay, the rhetoric's changing, San Diego State's looking like a team that we thought they were, and then it's negated by these two losses, so... When you only have, and I mention this so often, if you only have two chances or three chances to beat top 50 teams the whole season, you have to capitalize, even if it's on the road against Gonzaga or on the road against St. Mary's.
Yeah, you got teams like that. Like Nevada right now, I use I'm on real-time RPI, which I think is pretty good. Nevada's sitting at 40, but when you look at the conference overall, I know it's technically still early, but the chances to improve or like I said, are not really there because once you get league play, it's going to sit around, like kind of just simmer. You're here. Like there's only two top 100 teams, Nevada and CSU, and then you got like UNLV is a freaking under 200. San Jose, Fresno's 200 plus. There's going to be like I said, unless Nevada is a top 50 team. But here's the thing: if Aztecs beat them, they're not going to be a top 50 team anymore. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So it's like, yeah, it just works against you.
Or it's Colorado State is playing pretty well, or like I said, Wyoming's not doing too bad this year. Boise, their strength of schedule's not good, so they're sitting at 130 RPI about. But that's the problem. If you're a top 50, top 75 team in the conference, and you're a lower team, like say Air Force or Utah State moves up because Jalen Moore goes off for 35 one night, it just counteracts your victory. Yeah, you're top 50 win. Oh, no, it's top 75. And apparently the committee, oh, if you're 55, that's not a top 50 win. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. So let's do
the other.
Go ahead.
The other thing that is tough about these resumes for mid majors or just any conference that's outside of the Power Five, Power Six conferences is that when they look at your quality wins and bad losses, in conference wins don't really carry anything. So if you look at say San Diego State pulls off a 15 wins or 16 wins. And I know I'm picking on San Diego State, but they're kind of the cream of the crop here the last few years. But say that they go on win 10, 15 games in a row, and their best win on KenPom is Nevada. And it's not going to look that good in the committee's eyes that you beat Nevada as your top win. Because it doesn't show that you're doing anything outside of your conference.
Yeah, Cal could be a pretty good win, but even Nevada, because they're probably the best chance. Like they're scheduling. I know last year the schedule's pathetic because new head coach and everything, but like they're not outside of St. Mary's. They're not beat. They haven't played that many good teams. Like they split with Iona, who might have a decent chance in the MAC. Bradley's nothing in the. You know what I mean, they played Oakland, Buffalo, Oregon State's gonna finish 10th in the Pac-12. So even with them, it's like, oh, you beat a Pac-12 team. You beat
probably
maybe a conference champion if Iona can win the MAC out there. Bradley's sometimes okay, but same thing. Like, who's their they play Washington, but they just got smoked by Gonzaga this weekend. You know Washington pretty well. How do you think they would fare this weekend? Because Nevada goes on the road to play Washington.
Nevada better beat Washington. Washington's giving up 100 points to just about anyone that it possibly can. So I really hope Nevada can show a good fight against Washington. I know it's my school, but they need to show some life. This conference needs a win like this to show that it can pick up a road victory against a power team.
So there's Washington's 4-4. I'm trying to pull up really quick where they're ranked. Like, they got blown up by Gonzaga. They played TCU twice, apparently. That's kind of weird. But
yeah, back to back.
I saw that, but pulled up like within a week. I guess Nevada has the same thing with Iona, essentially. Within a week, they played each other in Alaska and Reno. But like, they beat Long Beach State, Western Kentucky is nothing great as USA. So would Washington even be a good win for them? Or is it, oh, you beat a team in a big conference?
Well, Washington's probably not going to finish in the top 100 in KenPom. I don't know if KenPom's rankings are really influenced so much by who you play, because they'll be playing some decent teams in the Pac-12. But the Huskies against UCLA, UCLA should put 100 on them. So it's not going to be pretty. This isn't really a quality win, but it's on, I believe, Pac-12 network, so it's a chance for Nevada to show its worth. So that it could still be a quality win for them.
In front of dozens of people.
Yeah. Washington does not pack the crowd when they're winning.
who's the worst crowd, Washington or Washington State?
I would probably say Washington State's got the worst crowd.
Probably the worst.
I haven't been there to see a game, though. They've got the worst town, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's west of Moscow, Idaho or something.
Yeah, I was, Pullman in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly. Like, I was a part of our job, we air Utah Valley basketball games. So I'm kind of, if you see me tweet about them, that's why. Because they beat BYU. Mm-hmm. Huge comeback versus Denver. Yeah. Nearly beat Wazoo last week on the road after the BYU game. And then almost beat Utah the other day. And my team, I'm like, what? They almost beat Utah? That would have been pretty cool. But they're talking about, like, the announcers, like, there's the band. It was basically the band. Let's guess is that the looking through the crowd, the band outnumber the rest of the crowd almost. That was kind of the conversation.
Oh,
part
man.
Of it.
Wow.
It was just pretty bad. All right, so let's go to some. Should we get to some positive things in the conference, I think? Is that a good idea?
Sure. Let's try it.
San Jose State.
Yes.
They had a three-game winning streak.
Yeah, of all teams in the conference. And they played well against St. Mary's, too.
Yeah, they lost to Montana the other night. Like, they lost them. Who was it? Was it Mohamed Nazir who transferred last year? Was that, I believe, is that correct? Does that sound right?
I'm not sure about that one.
Their best player transferred recently, I think, last season. I forget his.
I don't see it on the roster.
I could be way off, so. But they're okay. Honestly, they're not going to any tournament, most likely, unless it's still early. They're 4-4, but winning three in a row for them is a pretty big deal, because didn't they go win two games last year? I believe overall something pretty ridiculously bad. They were awful.
Two
last
wins
year.
Against non D1 teams 2 years before, so oh, that was really bad. Yeah, I was working on
it. Wazoo.
Yeah, they beat Wazoo. I said they beat a Power 5 team, so there you go. Yeah, but they're showing signs of improvement, so that's cool.
Yeah, Montana is usually decent. Big Sky lost to them, fortunately, by 20. They got a D2 school this week. They got Bowling Green, Southern Utah, which are probably maybe winnable at home. And then league play comes. I don't know. They'll probably still finish 9th in the league at best, I'm assuming. That's probably their ceiling this year. But so far, I know it's not much to grasp on to, guys, but they're actually playing pretty well. Because they can, like, look at what they did versus Washington State, Idaho. They go from scoring high scoring game, 88, to playing a defensive game, 58-49.
And beat Idaho, that's a wild change in scores.
And then they beat, who's SCU? They beat them 55-40.
Santa Clara.
Oh, that is? Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the server for Santa Cruz? I was debating. SCU, I'm like, Because I don't know every mascot, so Santa Clara, Santa Cruz. So they're not going to do great, but this is a step in the right direction for them. They're still years away, and who knows what they'll be later, but that's one of the positive things. CSU's actually playing pretty well also. They're 7-2 so far in the conference. They are. Could they be a team you think that could maybe win the conference? Possibly. From what you
with Santa Clara or San Jose State?
No, Colorado State. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know, because they have that nice win over Colorado that we mentioned, but at the same time,
nearly beat Stanford.
Yeah, that's true. But they also have four games or five games against 250-plus or non-D1 teams, and they have another one this week. So I want to see them play again against Kansas State, but I've been impressed what they've been able to do without Gian Clavel, who's suspended indefinitely, but he should they said he's practicing and he might be coming back soon, so we'll see how that goes.
I wonder if he'll be back for league play, because that's four games on the road. They do have, like, Long Beach State's decent. They're on the road versus them. They play LMU, who's, well, maybe not LMU, but Long Beach State's usually okay, but their conference just, I hate going back to stupid RPI, but being in the Big West is just going to screw them, because even if they win a conference or play well, like, Long Beach State's usually been contending for that league title, but I want to see that game, and then, like I said, Kansas State. I don't know how good Kansas State is.
They're probably a fringe tournament team. They probably have a shot at the tournament.
Okay, they're sitting at 8-1. I'm just curious. I don't. There's a lot of basketball teams. So I was like, basketball? Let's see. How good is Kansas? They're in the Big 12, which is I think the Big 12 is an underrated basketball conference. Most people just kind of forget.
I do too.
Outside of Kansas, like, who do you got? Well, Iowa State's usually pretty good. You got University of Texas. You have Colorado. Oh, no, wait. Whoops. Pac-12 now. Sorry. I'm a slip of the mind, but
Baylor's really good this year.
Yeah, Baylor. Yeah, they should be number one probably, but they're up there. But that's an underrated league. So if they can still win versus Kansas, and that's at home, which is a pretty big deal, and we could see like our favorite view of the backboard on the sideline view in that game.
Oh yeah, jeez.
Fix the backboard. Pull it up or get a different angle.
Fix it.
Come on.
Yeah, and the stopwatches too. No stopwatches.
There was that one game, but I think the Rams, like, how do you say his name? Is it Shea Bob or Che Bob? Shabob?
When I read it, I say Shea Bob in my head, so I'll go by that. I like the name, though.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. 21 and had a first start, so if he's going to start more often, maybe there's a player that could help them beat, because they'll beat Northern Colorado. They really should beat LMU. They really should beat Long Beach State. They probably could be sitting at 8, 9, 10 wins before they face UNLV, maybe 11 if they can upset Kansas State.
And it's not a bad non-conference schedule for them, and they don't have any bad losses either. Wichita State and Stanford is nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, the two non-D1 games don't help or hurt, but it's still a lost opportunity. Because
that's odd, though, with playing non-D1 teams.
That's what Craig Thompson's saying. Like Air Force would be notorious for playing like sub 300 teams. They play like Colorado College. They play Denver. They play like the worst D1 teams possible, and then mix in a handful of D2 schools like Lewis and whoever AFS is. I don't know who that is. Who they beat?
But and Johnson and Wales.
Exactly those schools. Alcorn State and Southeastern Louisiana are nothing good. But like I said, no bad losses. And New Mexico State's always good contention for the WAC. So it might be. Maybe a top 100 win, maybe, if things go right for them.
It's possible.
But I think if they're what we see now, I think CSU could be a team. I know Aztecs will be in there, but I think it'll be Aztecs, Rams, and Wolfpack. Maybe New Mexico? Lobos?
New Mexico's so inconsistent. I don't know.
Well, they don't have
Neil
anymore.
I cannot figure that team out.
They don't have Neil running the points, so maybe that'll help. I don't know.
Possibly. Do you have any idea how he's been doing with Ole Miss? I'm curious.
We should look that up in a moment. We'll see. He said he has to sit out this year, so. Because he transferred.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Yeah.
So zero stats. I'll tell you that much. Nothing. They beat UTEP at the Pit, which is that game needs to be played more often. On the last second shot, they won without Tim Williams, which is a pretty big deal for them. But UTEP's also terrible, so they're not very good. People want Tim Floyd.
Entertaining game, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, here's my thing. Eli, like, Brown. Brown. Sorry, speaking of the guy from BYU, not Bryant. Brown. He probably is the player of the year, I think. He could be. But they need more players to help him out. Like, Tim Williams could be pretty good. They need other players to help, because I think New Mexico, honestly, might have one of the most talented teams in the conference. Like, a more explosive player. Like, Brown can go off for, like, 30 points if he wants to in some games. They need more of him or more people like him to maybe get something done. But people aren't terribly happy with Noodles either there, just because of this isn't the team.
Noodles.
That's the weirdest nickname, but
I love that.
But you know what I mean? Like, people aren't exactly, because New Mexico, them and the Aztecs have like the most I guess Rebels too. A lot of good basketball fan bases, but Lobos have high expectations every year for their team. And if they're not in the conference title or they say they're going to win, they're like, we're going to be there. But then you get crushed by stupid Virginia Tech. You lose to Illinois State. You lose to Dayton, which Dayton's not a bad loss, but maybe it's
– these are all games that they should at least contend. And they did against Dayton and Illinois State, but it would have been nice to see them come up with some of those victories.
It definitely would. Virginia Tech's not – okay, they got the sweep of the Rio Grande Valley coming up, the second leg. But I like Lobos, but it's hard to describe because they should compete, but there's games like last year where it's like not – it's not the UNLV syndrome where they can't drop a play. But
– oh, yeah.
You got to have something going for you, guys. Like, you lose by 5 to Illinois State. They got the one versus UTEP, which is great. The last exciting game, like I said, Brown had the game winner. But they're a team that, if they can get things going, because I believe they're one of the teams that got a first-place vote, but they're predicted fourth, I want to say. Or maybe that's Fresno. But they have talent there. And it's hard to get excited when you lose against teams that are at your level or you have issues like Dayton and Illinois State. Like, they're teams they should win. Got to compete with them. You can't have too many of those because this conference is just, frankly, it's not very good this year.
And they have the best 1-2 punch in the conference. I don't think it's even close. So
yeah.
Once Williams gets back, maybe they can get on a run. They have Arizona on the road, but that's going to be really, really tough. But it's another opportunity for them to make a statement.
That would be huge for them because they got New Mexico State. They got who's at Arkansas Pine Bluff. They should win both of those. I think
please win.
I know.
Please win against Pine Bluff.
It's at home. They should win at the Pit, Wise Pie Pit Arena Pizza Salad Place. But I don't, Arizona, didn't they have like? Didn't they lose a key player for the year last week? I believe.
Well, they've been dealing with suspensions and injuries, and Alonzo Trier is out right now for them. But he's been. Sean Miller's been keeping it all under wraps, but he's still been traveling with the team, so he might be back pretty soon.
Because that would be huge, because Pac-12 isn't that great this year, I don't think, because Utah's way down, Arizona's good. Is it UCLA should be pretty good as well this year, I believe?
Yeah, UCLA's probably a top 5 team.
Okay. See, I should pay attention more, but there's a lot of basketball going on.
It's top heavy. It's definitely top heavy.
So it's not like wasn't a couple years ago where, like, everybody had like a top 100 RPI, like 11 of the 12 teams, something ridiculous.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, we're getting 10 teams in the tournament. Hold on there, folks. Your 6-10 Oregon State team. Sorry, we gotta hold on there. Relax.
With no wins on the road.
Probably, yeah, no road wins. They get the lofty RPI because everybody else is good. The top 4 or 5 are really good, and everybody else is just okay. But so yep. Okay, so we got these teams. So let's go. Do you want to hit more Nevada, or do you think we're good with what Musselman's doing there?
Yeah, I think we're in good shape with Nevada, and they're definitely in the best shape right now in the conference.
So, with Nevada, oh, we already discussed. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. We already discussed Nevada. I apologize. I have about 18 tabs open here, and I thought I closed them out. So,
wow.
Let's because there's a lot of basketball going on. We'll get to a couple games here. We don't want to spend like an hour on hoops and everything for this thing. We'll make it about 45. So let's do one more team. Utah State. They wish – you know how good they would be if they had Collette and Kyle Davis on their team?
They'd be a lot better.
Kyle Davis is doing great things for BYU, and Collette's going to be eligible for the Utes, I believe, in a week or two. Jalen Moore can't do it all, folks.
That's right. Yeah, he'll be solid. Yeah,
Jalen Moore can't do it all. His hair and everything cannot help them out.
this team's confusing too.
They played BYU pretty good, okay, but because I don't know what to make of BYU either. They lost to Utah Valley and squeaked by Weber State by 10 points last night. They're a team that finished top third, and Tim Tim Duryea taking over for Stu Morrill a couple years ago. He's still figuring things out, and I still think, even though they've been in the conference for a while, remember, a decade ago, they were in the Big West. Big West dominated, did well. In the WAC, took them a couple years to get there. They're still trying to build up to what they were. I don't know if they ever will be what they were in the Big West and Mountain West. That's a pretty big deal. But I still think the extra speed bump or yield sign, whatever dumb driving metaphor I'm going to use here, Tim Duryea is one of those. Not that it's a bad, but it's an adjustment. Losing Collette. But their big thing right now, and Davis a couple years ago, but their big thing now is finally having a non-conference schedule. Because Stu Morrill would play, let's see, we got Southern Utah, we got Weber State when they're not very good. We have, what's the local division? Let's play Westminster, down, it was in Salt Lake, who's like a D3 school or something.
Oh, man.
They would play the worst schedules. It's like, come on, coach, you're going to get 25 wins. Make them count.
Yeah, at least this team played against Purdue, Texas Tech, and BYU.
Yeah, they...
But besides that, nothing's there.
It's getting there. Some of this was already scheduled up. BYU was a neutral site game. They lost to Indiana State. What? I forgot about that one. Here's an interesting game.
Another Mountain West Missouri Valley heartbreaker.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to call it right now. I don't think they're going to beat Utah Valley on Saturday.
Really?
UVU, they're like, I might be a little against, because I produce all their basketball games, so I'm listening to everything. I'm watching everything, so I pay attention to them a bit more because working what I'm doing. But Isaac Nelson will light it up from 3-point range. It's a home game, so Utah State's actually traveling away to go to this, well, I was going to say small school, but it has like a 35,000 undergrad somehow. But there, I don't know. This will be a game where. This is a sneaky game to watch. I think it's on WAC Digital Network, I believe, or WAC TV or something. Try to find this game because two things will happen. Well, I'll give you one guarantee. If Utah State's up big, you want to tune into this game because every game Utah Valley has been in, like I said before, they're down 27 to Denver, down 15 to Utah, down double digits to Washington State, down 10 versus BYU. Every game came within one possession, essentially, or win. So, if you see Aggies up by 15, keep an eye on the game, folks. Maybe pull up your CBS Sports app, which is my favorite. Pull up your favorite sports app and see what's going on. But keep an eye on this game because Utah Valley, they're the ultimate chuckers from 3-point range.
And I just looked up here. They're 4th and 10th, too. That could be an exciting game.
They fly. Like, when they play, Utah likes to run as well. That game was just flew by. That might be a loss in UVU. I think they have actually a pretty good RPI of like top 50. That's obviously going to sing like a rock once they get the WAC play. But it's a team where, like, not to talk too much with them, but they're a team like in a couple of years out west, they could be one of those teams like what New Mexico State has done before in the WAC, where they get in the NCAA tournament and win a game or two, or do what Long Beach State, who's can be a pesky team in the NCAA tournament, or when Weber State, decade ago, nearly made the Sweet 16. They could be a team like that in a couple years. And their head coach, Mark Pope, will probably not be there just after that happens. But that's enough WAC talk today, I guess.
Well, Utah State's only projected to win 81-78, so... Yeah. Sounds like there's a backstory there. So that could be an interesting game.
If you can tune into it, that's something definitely worthwhile to figure out. So then they got Weber State, who's usually okay, in-state school. And then they got, was that New Orleans, UNO? I think.
Yep.
I don't know.
New Orleans.
Okay, we'll see. I think the ceiling for Utah State is probably NIT.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd say NIT,
okay,
too.
Okay, let me ask you this. I had to do a double take on this. Do you know what New Orleans' mascot is? Any idea? Take a guess. Come on.
Is it anything related to, like, Cajun or Mardi Gras or
close.
Anything?
No.
I don't know. What is it?
The New Orleans Privateers.
Privateers?
Jeez. What is a privateer?
It's... man. It's like... I don't even know what to say.
Another mascot here, because I did a double take because I thought it was the Pelicans. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right.
Yeah, we already have that. We already have New Orleans Pelicans.
Interesting side note: New Orleans Privateers beat Washington State.
Everyone's beating up on Wazoo this year,
except for UVU. It couldn't do it.
An armed ship owned and officered by private individuals holding a government commission. Sounds like a good college mascot to me.
Why is their mascot for game day? Who's on the sideline for them?
I wonder who voted on that.
What's a dummies? Isn't that? I think that's the school that moved up from like after Hurricane Katrina, they dropped down like to like D3. Then I think they're slowly moving their way back up. I think that's who it is. But that's got to be bottom.
The return of the privateers.
Bottom 10 mascot. What's worse than that? I don't know.
Ooh, there's one that came to mind. I can't remember what it was now. There are some strange ones.
All right, let's go on to next. Well, maybe we'll think of something. I know you got the banana slugs, but that's a cool mascot. That's interesting. Over. I think that's Santa Cruz, right? Yes. I want to say Santa Cruz. All right, so let's go to Boise State. Our boy Nick Duncan's doing good things.
Okay. Yeah, whether he has a bandage or not around his head.
I was going to say that. He looks like an extra in scrubs when he had that on.
And now Paris Austin has one too.
Boy, this team nearly beat Oregon, which Oregon was. Weren't they top five at one point for like a second? Or was it top 10?
They were at the start of the year.
All right, so, we had to get this out of the way. Another Missouri Valley loss to Evansville.
That Missouri Valley challenge.
Here's my big problem with that. Man. I think you'll agree. Why are they setting the schedule in December the year prior?
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with it because, I mean, the conferences won't always be balanced. And when you have Wichita State and San Diego State kind of aligned, you have Boise State or whoever it might be in with Northern Iowa. So it's a decent conference, but I don't understand scheduling it so far in advance because a lot changes with transfers and coaches leaving and the other conferences schedule their events only 4 or 5 months prior, so they have a better understanding of where the strength of the teams are.
It's weird. I'm like, why not do it in April, in May or something? Like, you know, who's going to play. One team will miss out for the Mountain West, but why don't they? I think the best thing they could do, whoever, like, go by regular season of conference standings. Team one plays team one. Winner plays winner. Two plays two, three, and so on. Just that, in that case, it's not an exact science, obviously, but you're basically playing pecking order against each other within the league. That makes sense to me. That works for me.
Right?
Too simple?
It makes too much sense.
I don't know who the Missouri Valley commissioner is, but you guys need to not do it in a, and also get a TV partner. That's ridiculous as well. Get something. Like,
yeah.
They both have ESPN. I think, or it could be the home teams. Like, if you're at home, I get that's how it was. Like, some were online, some were on CBS, some were, I don't think some were shown, maybe not, but you got to get it some consistency with TV. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's streaming on ESPN3 or something, get it all on one network, essentially. And the same weekend.
See, I thought that would be agreed upon prior to even making the event because I know Big Ten and ACC have this big contract scheduled with ESPN.
I think this is just home team rights. Whoever's your home team gets to pick or whatever. You know what I mean? So Root Sports or whatever network you have available. All right, so with Boise State here, lost to Oregon, lost to Evansville. I remember you mentioned the Charleston loss. That was weird. What would you say your chance – what would you place odds on, like, Boise maybe – because they got Portland, Idaho State, is that Cal State Northridge, CSN, I want to say? Yes, it is.
They should win all those games, so, I think. They should.
But –
and I think they will.
So where do you think they'd put them in the conference? Because they barely beat LMU the other day on the road. Do they have a chance? Like they get they?
Yeah, that was a rough game.
Because they have some obviously they have talent. Nick Duncan and other and like Hutchinson is really good as well. Is Leon? Would you let's back up a little bit instead of be rambling? Is Leon Rice like one of the best coaches in the conference to maybe help offset them being kind of a weird team?
I would say he's probably right up there. Well, Steve Fisher's alone by himself, but I would say he's up there top two or top three.
Is that enough to maybe get wins like playing at Utah State stuff? But like, you'll start with that game. Like, they play at the Spectrum at Utah's Logan conference weekend, like first week in the conference play. Is he enough to maybe give them 5 points or something to get games like on the road, like going to Wyoming or going to CSU or that opener.
I think he's proved a little bit of that. And Boise had a really, really long losing streak against Utah State that was shattered last year on the road in the Spectrum. But that's still a really, really difficult place to play, and they have to match up well with Jalen Moore. But this is still a team that has a lot of talent, and they're really young, but they're showing strides, and they have some young guys coming in and being able to score in bunches. So it's an exciting team.
They got 10 guys in double-digit minutes. They have, like, after – here's a problem. I think it's not a problem, but it's it can either make this team really dangerous or not good. Because Hutchinson will scores about 18 a game, nearly double-double a game. Then you have Duncan at 10 points, Paris Austin at 9, Jessup at 9. Then you have, like, James Reed at 6.5 points. They – like, any of those guys could probably go off for 15 any night. They need a second scorer to be a solidified second scorer.
Yeah, because when you look at the box scores or you watch him play, it's usually one guy over 20, and then you might see some guy with 10, 11, or 12, and that's either Hutchison pouring in maybe 20 and 10, or it's one of those nights where Nick Duncan goes off. So it's one or the other. So if they could have another guy step up, and Austin's doing a much better job attacking the basket and scoring the ball, but you're right, a second main score would be really beneficial right now.
68% of your free throws. Because if
that doesn't
Austin's
help.
Getting to the line, he needs to shoot better than 66%.
And he gets the line a lot with the way he plays, too.
270? I think it's reasonable. That's a couple points a game right there. That could be...
My biggest beef with Boise would probably be... And I know they have a lot of guys that can shoot from deep, but they still shoot the three ball far more than they should. The last 2 years, they've been top 25, top 50 nationally in two-point percentage, and 200th or worse in the country in three-point percentage. But they still shoot the three ball as much as anyone in the country. So there's that imbalance, which really it can cost them if they shoot 2 of 20 like they did against SDSU last year. And they're not always going to do that, but there are games where they just settle from deep. I don't know who that falls on, but it's just how it goes sometimes.
Look at you, Nick Duncan. You like to chuck it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He shot, I think, 13 or 14 threes the other night.
He's averaging, let's see. Okay, not a ton. Okay. He's two per game. He makes 2.3, shoots 6.5 per game. Yeah, he was 5 of 14 versus Oregon. Jeez. 1 of 7. Oh, jeez. So can somebody... dude, he's big. I know he's not going to drive over people, because if he drives in, he might have a charge, because he's kind of a lumbering type of guy. He's not like super athletic, so I don't want him off the dribble. But why can't he do like a... not necessarily pick and roll, but have him drive to the basket a bit more often, because with his size, he could get something like get it to the corner spot of the court, and then he's big enough to get around his defender, give him a bounce pass or something, not necessarily post up, but just a motion play where he's going, gets the ball, maybe dribbles, maybe not, goes up for a basket. Why can't he do that a bit more often? I think it's more beneficial than just hanging around at 3-point range and chucking it when nobody's guarding you.
Yeah, I agree. But to be fair, I think his post moves have improved a lot since he was an underclassman, but it's still as frequently as he probably should. I mean, shooting 13 threes a game, that's when you're what, 6'8", 250? I don't know if that's going to cut it.
He's 265, man. Come on. He can attack the basket. Like, Poe?
Oh, yeah. I cut him short.
Do something down low, because at worst you'll get hacked or get a foul. You know what I mean? And he's okay at free throws. I'm looking at this now. He's had three games with no free throw attempts, four more with two or less. He should be getting to the line. Like, his best free throw game is SMU Western Michigan, 4 or 5. He needs to get to the line a bit more often than that. But when you're chucking threes, nobody's going to foul you.
Yes, yeah, especially given his size. Yeah. But his pump fake is good, but I don't know if he gets too many fouls off of it. It doesn't seem like it.
I think he settles a bit too much for what he can do. All right, let's move on really quick to UNLV.
Yeah.
And then we can wrap this up. Is that good? The Rebels, they got Duke this weekend. How's that?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Hey, it's at T-Mobile Arena.
If that's going to help anyone. And Duke has their top 3-4 freshmen out, but that's not going to make a difference. KenPom has a 3% chance of UNLV winning.
3%. Yeah, Duke's number one in KenPom overall.
3%.
Is there going to be more Duke fans or Rebel fans?
I think Duke travels pretty well. So it's... Oh, but it is a... the location favors UNLV, obviously. But I don't know. Travels well.
I recall Wisconsin UNLV football a couple years ago. More Wisconsin fans than UNLV fans.
Yeah. Wisconsin, huh.
So, yeah. So it's with surprising. The Rebels, like, they're clearly not going to win, correct?
No, they're not. That's not going to happen.
Not to go back to this real quick, but just a side note, back to Utah Valley University, because why not? They are given a 1% chance to beat BYU. So it's possible. There's a chance. 3% is triple that. So
wow.
But...
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance for that. But with the Rebels as well, what do you make of Marvin Menzies so far with the players they have right now?
Well, they're not nearly as bad as I thought they were going to be. A lot of people are giving them no credit at all. And I know they lost to South Alabama, but Athlon had them dead last in the conference. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think he's doing an okay job. I want to see what they do against a team like Duke, and we'll see them a lot in the next few weeks against Duke and Oregon and Kansas. But they could still win a handful of games in conference play. I don't doubt that.
Pretty good, right? Out of the off week Missouri Valley Challenge game. Jeez, that thing's the worst.
I forgot about that.
We don't need to go back on that. They got crushed by Arizona State. They snuck by Southern Utah, which I'm pretty sure was Todd Simon, let's give you a home game really quick. It's only an hour drive, so we can do that. And he nearly beat them, so... I don't even know who's on this team because I haven't paid too much attention to them. Because I go to ESPN, and the Twitter thing in the middle. They use all the Twitter handles, so I don't know who's who because these college kids, like a lot of college kids, their Twitter handle's not close to their name sometimes.
Yeah, they try to get all fancy with it.
I don't know. I think they're going to be better than we thought, but they're probably... Okay, I will say this. I'm going to say they finish above San Jose State. They're going to finish above Air Force. Is that it?
Oh, I don't buy that one. I think Air Force will finish higher than UNLV. I don't know. I have a soft spot for Air Force.
They can.
They can shoot the ball.
Is UNLV maybe finishing 10th in the conference?
They might finish ahead of Wyoming, possibly.
Wyoming's new head coach. They're doing okay. They're Laramie, but here's what's good about UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
They play so many tough teams this next month. Like, even playing Arizona State, okay, whatever. They're a Pac-12 team. They got some talent there. But you play Duke, you play Oregon, you play Kansas. They're going to be tested. Not that they'd be afraid anyways of anybody, but they're going to be more, we're playing against CSU has a 6'8 power forward instead of Kansas' 6'11 power forward. Or their guard is a half step slower than the guy we played versus Duke. Like Frank Jackson versus Nick Duncan, I know they're two different positions. That's a big difference. You know what I mean? Or played even Jalen Moore, Frank Jackson.
Yeah, big time.
Difference. And for a sizable difference, I'll say. Moore's very good, but he's not those guys who Duke has, who they're rolling out there. But like even New Mexico, like I said, they have like, Tip Williams and Brown there. It's like they're great, but we've seen what Oregon has to offer. We've seen what these teams have to offer. So they might sneak out a win or two. Like, they do get San Jose twice. They get Air Force twice. They get Nevada twice. No, they only get Nevada once, which is stupid. Ugh, stupid off-balance schedule, but I think 10th might be where they're at this year. Maybe 9th? That's
yeah, probably 9th or 10th. They'll be better than we thought they were.
Thought they were 9th or 10th.
I don't know. Where do we have them at the start? Rebel probably around, probably around 9th or 10th. They're going through
they're
it too,
saying,
though.
Oh, there's a chance to beat Duke. We'll be good. We'll contend for the conference.
Oh man, chance to
yes,
beat
you're
Duke.
Right, a chance. Mathematically, a chance.
They both started 0 points, right?
They each played.
I
five
guess there's
players.
A chance. Yes.
Not a side at once.
Yeah.
We'll see. Do we have anything else to add? Because this kind of show is kind of going hodgepodge because we missed so much. Anything upcoming next couple of days we need to discuss, or we good to go? We've been going.
I think we covered
Sorry,
it for
Air
the
Force,
most
no
part.
Spending much more time. Sorry, Fresno State. We'll get to you guys later next week, right? We promise. All right. So with football being basically done,
good.
We'll have more basketball stuff. So also, I like that we have San Jose State writers. That helps out quite a bit because. To be honest, it's a struggle for sometimes to get Spartans people to write about anything when they're and like winning streak. Hey, I'm like, hey, look at that! They keep winning. So check back at the website. We will get better basketball stuff because you and me kind of new chatting with each other. So it'll get there. We'll figure our way around to this awkwardness at the beginning.
We'll get
like
it going.
The first 2 dates or something. We'll figure it out down the road. And there it is again. But that's our show for tonight. So. Here's what we'll kind of discuss. We'll try to go every Thursday for a show. So what we'll most likely do is kind of look over the past week, look ahead a little bit, go through some games like that, more organized. Because tonight, really, we're just kind of flying off the seat of our pants. We may do a little resume look at some of the teams. That might be a good idea once conference play ends next week or the week after. So check us out. We got to answer those two questions really quick. Let's do that for a moment. I think we answered one for UNLV finishing 500, correct? Was that one of the questions? That's a negative, right?
Yeah, we got that one answered.
So next one was
as of right
Pac-12
now, yeah.
Mountain West challenge. I would like that. Is it going
to... I would love that.
Is it
going to
happen?
That would be delightful.
Sorry, guys, probably not. I think it...
No
I
way.
Think it probably should happen because there's a couple of times in the past decade where the Mountain West has been better than the Pac-12 or at worst on par with overall. Part of it, you have one less team in the Mountain West, which kind of makes it awkward, but they play them anyways. Here's the reason why they should do it. Because Utah usually plays Utah State. Arizona will play like New Mexico or UNLV. CSU plays Colorado. You know what I mean, or Wyoming plays Colorado or Air Force, it kind of combination. They're already in place for regional, like San Diego State plays Cal every year almost, or plays a, like CSU played Stanford. Boise will play Oregon. So it's already in place. Why can't they make it official?
I don't know. I wish there was some sort of, maybe not necessarily a guarantee, but if they had some rotation of, maybe if you're in the West region, if you're Mountain West, then you have to play a trio of maybe Big West and Pac-12 and WCC team every year. I don't know that it would that could be something, and it would help.
It would. I get
it would help
the Missouri
some resumes
balancing
out.
Because for a while, the past 5 or 6 years, the Mountain West and Missouri were essentially right there with all the other conferences. Like the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC, they were really close in those conferences. But it's cyclical, and these other leagues, like West Coast, could be much better this next year. Maybe BYU will be there next year, not this year. They could have 3 tournament teams next year, but they have 2 really good teams now. It is cyclical for the teams that aren't in the Big East or, I guess, whatever, not now as much, but the ACC or the Big Ten, but. I get their point in the Missouri Valley, but they kind of screwed it up how it's set up. But if you can't get the Pac-12, which you can make money off it too, have some sort of sponsorship thing. You have the late night games because you want to ESPN wants content. They both have deals with ESPN. why it, I think it does. It, thinking about it now out loud, it makes sense that it could be a possibility. Have it for a weekend, like a 3-day period, like the Big Ten ACC. I think it kind of makes sense to do it.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just, it comes down to the execution of it, though. Do you have a TV deal in place? How do you schedule it? Because with, I don't, and I know I bashed the Mountain West Missouri Valley Challenge, but the teams, when you look at the conference, you have teams that usually contend for the tournament with Wichita and San Diego State, and it's fairly balanced, but there's, SDSU shouldn't be on the road playing Loyola, which I don't think has ever made the tournament. So it's just, it'll be nice to see them schedule against a power conference, but it's just how they go about it. And if they're playing a Pac-12 team, yeah, it would definitely be on a major network.
Obviously getting favored for who they played last year as well. I think they played, didn't they play Wichita last year? I think at home as well. So
yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
That was on ESPN too.
I think it could, execution's lacking there, but what, or I'd be fine playing the West Coast Conference. That would be okay as well. There's some pretty good teams in that league, but they already play at West. I think it could happen. Like I said, late night games. You have ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU. You have, how would it be, 11 games? You could do it a 3-night period, 4-night period. You do the 8 Pacific tip time. Nothing else. What's going to be on at 8 p.m. Pacific on one of the ESPN channels? A Pac-12 game? You know what I mean? Sports Center, maybe?
Nothing.
Pac-12 game, Gonzaga's playing.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe. It's like, I think it could make sense. Plus, it could make schools a few bucks, but that's our question for.
And if you have an intriguing team, so if you have an intriguing team like Gonzaga or St. Mary's playing, that could be good.
We'll see how it goes, but that would be nice to happen. Probably won't happen, but I believe the Pac-12 is the only team that doesn't have one of these challenges. Is that correct? For the most part?
Yeah, not an official one. Yeah, not an official one. There's SEC, Big 12, and then these last 2 years, Big East and Big Ten have played in the Gavitt games, and then Big Ten and ACC with ESPN.
You're right, the Pac-12. Come on, give me a call. I'll set it up. We'll set it up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah,
and don't schedule it right now. Don't schedule it right now, Jeremy.
How about July 4th weekend? Is that a good time to start it, to get going scheduling wise? There we go.
Perfect.
All right,
that's
our show for tonight. Yes. Again, like I said, we'll do a show next week, more structured for games, stuff like that. But tell people where they can find your stuff, Eli, because you do stuff for us and other places.
So I do stuff on MWCConnection.com, also over on Pacific Takes. Yeah, that's us right here. Pacific Takes, which is Pac-12 site. I'll write about anything that's numbers-based. And then you can find me on Twitter, Becker_Eli. That's BOETTGER
_ELI. Basketball stuff comes out every 8 minutes or so, I'll say, maybe.
Poof. 8 minutes, maybe 7 minutes.
All right, here we go. So
I try.
We waited for the show to go this long. UT Arlington 65, number 12 St. Mary's 51.
Wow. Maybe we should wait off on that West Coast Mountain West challenge
Mary's
idea.
San Jose State, sorry. And sorry, Spartans as well. But
yeah.
All right, officially, that's our show for tonight. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, Twitter at MWCConnection, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, where else we have? Stitcher. iTunes? Do you use iTunes? I don't use iTunes. I don't know. I use Pocket Casts. So
no, I don't use it either.
There, if you'd like. But that's it for tonight, and we'll talk more hoops.